Well, this morning we're going to wrap up our series on We Are MACC, and we're going to look at the final aspect of our vision statement, which is share. And so we want to take some time this morning to do that. So if you have a Bible with you this morning, go ahead and make your way over to Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. That's where we're going to get to eventually. If you didn't happen to bring a Bible with you, that's not a problem. We have Bibles in the chair underneath you in front, or maybe sitting in the chair beside you. Grab one of these blue Bibles here and turn to Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. And we'll give you that Bible if you don't own one. We want you to be able to be in God's Word and allow it to be a part of your life. But to go ahead and make your way there. The first week we started this series, I tried to explain to you that as a leadership, we had developed a layered vision statement. And the reason we did that is to help us all better understand who we are as a church, or at least what our vision for us to be as a church, what our purpose is, why we do what we do. Okay, and you see our statement plastered around everywhere. It's on your bulletin. It's on the walls. You come in. It's connect, grow, serve, share. That's our vision statement. And so we developed a layered vision statement so that you don't just see those four words, but that when you see those four words, different things start to come to your mind. So when you see the word connect, what we're saying when we say the word connect is that we want to develop a congregation, a people here, a church body, that is creating a lifestyle of worshiping God both individually and corporately, that we are constantly in worship with God. And then we talked about grow. That's the second aspect, connect, grow. And when we say grow, what we're saying is that we want to honor Jesus by intentionally developing disciples who are biblically informed, who are spiritually transformed, and who are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Last week, we spent our time talking about what it means to serve. When we say that word serve, we're saying more than just serve. What we're saying is we want to honor Jesus by exercising spiritual gifts for the kingdom of God. And how we do that is by building relationships focused on sharing the gospel, by responding to community needs with compassion, and by involving all in God's kingdom work around the world, starting at home and around the world. So this morning, as we wrap up this series, we're going to look at share. And when we say share, our layered vision statement with that is this. We want to honor Jesus. We want to help become a church that honors Jesus by living our faith story, okay? Both verbally and non-verbally. And the Apostle Paul, in the book of Colossians, which is where we're going to be this morning, he encouraged the people of Colossae to live their faith story both verbally and non-verbally. So I want to invite you to follow along with me as I read Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Paul says this. He says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. He says, pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. As I was reading and studying this passage of Scripture, there was one image that came to my mind. It kept coming to my mind over and over again. You want to guess what that image was? Yeah, doors. It's on the stage right here behind us. Yeah, that image just really kept coming to my mind over and over and over again. And so I called Chuck Wren, and he let me borrow a couple of doors because I want you to have a visual image of what I'm talking about when I say that when we start talking about the doors, because this question kept coming to my mind, and my hope and my prayer this week has been that every time you see doors, which you'll see them everywhere you go, in any room you go into, any building, you'll see doors, and when you see those doors, that this question will just keep coming back to your mind, and the question is this: when God opens doors, do you walk through them? Do you peek in them? Or do you close them shut? A lot of times some people, they just run through the door. You know, God opens a door and they run through it. Like John and Katie, I met them this week, or revisited with them again this week. They're missionaries to Papua New Guinea. They had been over there for a year. They came back home. They had a couple of kids. And they're getting ready to go back for 3 years. God has opened a door. They're running through it. Some people, like me, maybe you see a door that God's open and you want to peek in. You want to try and figure everything out. You know, so you come up, you look, and you check it out. Is it safe to go in? Should I stay and retreat? And so we question, and we spend our time peeking into the doors that God's opening. And then some of us, when God opens a door, we take the handle and we pull it closed. We don't want to enter in because we know there's a threat, maybe, or there's something we may have to do. There's something we may have to change. There may be a challenge that we have to face in our lives, and so we close those doors and ignore them. But as believers in Jesus Christ, our purpose is to share the gospel. I want to share with you real quick what your purpose is, according to Scripture, as a believer in Jesus Christ, and I'll save you about $15, okay? Your purpose in life as a believer in Jesus Christ is to worship God, to connect with Him in worship. Your purpose as a Christian is to grow in your relationship with God through understanding who He is. Your purpose in life as a Christian is to serve God by serving others. And your purpose in life as a Christian is to share the gospel message with everyone you meet. That's why we believe in connect, grow, serve, and share. We believe that Scripture teaches that, and maybe not in those exact words, but that idea of worship, of growing, of serving and sharing. And so the question is when God opens opportunities, and today we're talking about share, when God opens opportunities for you to share the gospel, do you walk through those doors? Do you peek in? Do you close them? So in this passage that we just read, the Apostle Paul, what he does is he encourages the people in Colossae to walk through. He wants to walk through. He encourages us to walk through God's open doors so that we don't close them. So here's how I believe that we can identify open doors and prepare ourselves to walk through them so that we don't just peek in or we don't close them altogether. First thing we have to do as Christians is we must live lives that are devoted to prayer. We have to live lives that are devoted to prayer. Now, when we say prayer and pray, what we're saying is that we're in a constant conversation with God, which means we're listening to God and we're speaking with God. We're asking Him questions. We're telling Him the things that are bothering us, but we're also taking time to center down, as Tozer puts it, and to listen, to be still, to know that He is God. So that conversation is two-way. God speaks to us, we speak to Him. He wants to hear what's on our heart and what's going through our mind, but He wants us to listen what's on His heart so He can put it on our heart so that our heart becomes like His. Paul encourages his readers, and I believe we can learn from this as well, that our praying must be faithful. This phrase that's used here in the NIV, it says, devote yourselves to prayer. That means be steadfast in your prayer life. It means be devoted. It means don't quit. Life's going to get tough. Schedules are going to be busy. They're going to be full. Calendars are packed full. But Paul's saying no matter how hectic life gets, how busy you are, how full your calendar is, devote yourselves to the discipline of prayer. If you want to share the gospel, you've got to be in a state of prayer with God so that you see every opportunity as an open door to share the gospel. And the only way you're going to do that is to be devoted to prayer, to listen to what God's putting on your heart. Listen, this is the way the early church prayed. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, it says this, they all joined together constantly in prayer. That's the kind of life that we need to live, a life that is devoted to prayer, that's constantly in prayer. Too many of us, we pray occasionally. I don't know if this describes you, but it may describe someone you know. We pray when we feel like praying, you know, when I've got time to pray. Or the least I can do is pray. You'll hear people use phrases like that, and it starts me to wonder, do we really believe in the power of prayer? And if we don't really believe in the power of prayer, are we really devoting our lives to praying? Or we'll have people that'll pray when there's a crisis that comes up. You know, it may be the only time God ever hears from some people. But the Apostle Paul reminds us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he says, pray without ceasing. And the way this is used, did you know this is a command? We are to pray without ceasing. And this doesn't mean that we should walk around muttering prayers under our breath. That's what some people may think. That's not what it means. It means that we should be constantly in fellowship with God so that prayer is as normal to us in our spiritual lives as breathing is for our physical lives. And then Paul tells the Colossians that as they pray constantly, they need to be watchful and thankful. Okay, so as we're devoted to prayer, two things we need to watch out for. We've got to be watchful in our praying. We've got to be thankful in our praying. So what are we watchful against? What are we thankful for? That's where my mind went. So we're watchful against apathy. We have to be watchful against apathy. We have to be awake. We have to be alert as we pray. Now, the phrase watch and pray, it's used a lot in the Bible. Especially if you go back in the Old Testament, you'll see it starts, the first time you'll encounter this is when Nehemiah is building the wall around Jerusalem. Remember, the wall got tore down, they're rebuilding the wall. And they say, you know, we've got to be alert, we got to watch and pray. And it's a beautiful picture because all of the enemies of the Israelites are coming around the city. And they're like a pack of wolves. They're looking for an opportunity to pounce on them, to destroy them. And so what does Nehemiah do? In chapter 4, verse 9, it says, but we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Now, they placed a physical guard there. This reminds me that our lives, in our spiritual walk, we're engaged in spiritual warfare. And we must watch and guard, just like Nehemiah did against the real physical enemies that are around him. We have a greater enemy. Our enemy is Satan, and it's a spiritual battle that he's launched against us, and he desires to see us fall as a people. Jesus used this same phrase with his disciples when he was in the garden in Gethsemane just before his crucifixion. Remember, he goes into the garden, he's praying to God about, Father, if you could take this cup from me, take it. But not my will, your will be done. That's what he tells him. Listen to how Matthew records what goes on just prior to Jesus praying that prayer in Matthew chapter 26, verses 38 through 41. Then Jesus said to them, the disciples, he says, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. And so he said to Peter, John, and James, he said, hey, you guys stay here, and I want you to keep watch with me. Keep watch with me. Jesus knew he was going into spiritual warfare. No good army goes into combat without a watchman, without a scout. They need them. They need people that are watching, that have their peripheral taken care of, that have their backs covered. He says, so watch with me. He said, I'm not putting all the responsibility on you. You watch with me. I'm watching. Watch with me. And so he goes a little further into the garden, and then he fell with his face to the ground, and he prayed, my Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Then in verse 40, he returned to his disciples, and he found them sleeping. And he said this, he said, could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? For 1 hour, could you not keep watch? And in verse 41, he said, watch and pray so that you'll not fall into temptation. The spirit's willing, but the body is weak. So Jesus lets us know that we have to watch. We have to be on the lookout. Leonard Ravenhill, some of you may know who he is. He lived in the early 1900s and into 1980s, and he wrote a book called Revival God's Way. And this is what he had to say about our watchfulness, okay? Ravenhill said, I am tired of complacent Christians. He wrote this in 1983. He said, I'm tired of complacent Christians. He said, I'm declaring open season on our smug spiritual complacency and amnesia. He said, we would rather squat in our rubber foam pews or chairs and hear a yet more pleasant dissertation on Psalm 23 for the 1,000th time than hear a man fresh from audience with the eternal God cry with broken sobs, who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Ravenhill, as I said, he was convicted by the Holy Spirit about the spiritual complacency of Christians back in 1983 when he wrote this book. And the amazing thing is that the percentage of Americans who are followers of Jesus Christ, who attend church, is lower now than it was in 1983. Why? Because we haven't watched. We haven't kept prayer. We've become apathetic. We think it's someone else's responsibility to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others because we have not engaged in prayer with God so that what's on His heart becomes what's on our heart. And God's heart is about seeing people come into a saving relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. We become apathetic and we don't care. I'm not saying you, but in general, as a whole, it's a true statement. You see, praying helps us to combat our enemy, the devil, in spiritual warfare. Paul says, be watchful, but he also says this. He says, be thankful. So the other thing I want to encourage you to do is to be thankful. Thankful for what? Thankful for opportunities. We must be thankful for opportunities that God brings our way. Opportunities will come our way, but we have to recognize them. And then when they do come our way and God opens that door, we must walk through that door. Some of the most difficult opportunities to come our way can still be opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in turn, we should be thankful for that. And because it's in this sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we're actually fulfilling our purpose in life. I went to the hospital earlier this week, and I visited a lady there. And some of you know her, some of you may not, but she was in a major car accident a couple of weeks ago. And as I was visiting with her, she said God was teaching her some very important lessons and providing her with some great opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. She said, when people come in my room, I don't point my finger at them and say, hey, do you know Jesus? If you don't, you know, you need to. She said, that's not the way I'm sharing the gospel. And so she shared with me that one day a nurse came into her room that was caring for her, and the nurse shared with her that she, the nurse, was pregnant. And so she responded by saying, you know, she jumped all over this. She said how awesome it was that God started life from the very beginning. As soon as sperm fertilizes egg, life begins at conception. And isn't that beautiful? It just shows the power of God. And so she's planting seeds. And the nurse that was there helping her, she just kind of looked at her in bewilderment. Really? This is what you're telling me, you know, not knowing if this lady was excited or not about having this child growing in her. But she used it as an opportunity to share who God was, to help this person understand that there's something so much bigger. Can you imagine, though? Can you imagine being in a hospital with broken bones and bruises all over your body and still seeing it as an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? So here's my question for all of us. Do we really take time to recognize the many opportunities that God provides for us each day to share the gospel? Are we praying for those opportunities? Are we thankful for those opportunities? Are we watching for those opportunities by guarding against apathy? Because God does deliver. You may say, well, how do I look at that? Hey, I'm sure some of you have family members who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They may go to church, but that doesn't mean that they know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So take the time to sit down with your family members. Talk to them. Pray about what you can say to them. What about your coworkers, people that you interact with on a daily basis, people that see you outside of church? You may be the only Jesus some of them ever see. And so are you praying for those opportunities? Students, when you're in school, whether it's first grade, if you're a Christ follower, all the way up to you're working on your master's degree, you're a student, you're at school, do your fellow students know that you're a Christ follower, that you proclaim the name of Jesus over your life? Do you live in such a way that they look and say, there's something missing, they've got something I don't have, I'd like to have that? And then you have that opportunity to share Christ. Are you praying about that? Do you even care about that? That's the big question we have to ask ourselves. What about strangers? As we're just walking around doing life every day. Bruce was sharing with me this week that one day he was doing some shopping somewhere, and he was behind this lady, and this lady said, hey, I'm sure you're busy. Why don't you go ahead and get in front of me in line? And so he gets in front of her, and he said before he knew it, this lady was sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. She took the opportunity. I mean, Bruce is a Christ follower, but she took the opportunity. Do we seek those opportunities? Are we praying for those opportunities? Are we thankful for those opportunities? Do we walk through the door when God opens it? Or do we stand there and peek in thinking, is this safe? Or do we slam it shut and say, I'm just going to ignore it and walk away? Another way we can make sure we're walking through the open doors and not just peeking in them or closing them shut is this. We proclaim with clarity the mystery of Jesus Christ. What is this mystery of Jesus Christ? Here it is. You ready? It's the gospel. It's the good news that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That's the gospel. That's the good news. Many centuries ago, 12th, 13th century, there was a fellow by the name of St. Francis of Assisi, and he made this statement. He said, preach all the time. When necessary, use words. Now, unfortunately, many Christians have jumped all over that quote with both feet and completely misinterpreted it. They take it to mean that they don't have to engage in conversation with others, but that others will come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior through the way they live their lives without ever saying a word. But St. Francis also said this. This gets overlooked. He said, all the darkness in the world cannot extinguish the light of a single candle. Preach the gospel. It's what we're called to do. Proclaim it. You see the word proclaim in verses 3 and 4? In the Greek, it's the word laleo. It's a verb. And it means to speak. That means that we have to engage our mind with our mouth and use words to share the gospel of Jesus Christ so that someone else may know. And there's been a big decline in that in our country, in our churches. Mark Driscoll wrote a great book called A Call to Resurgence. I don't agree with everything Driscoll stands for. He doesn't agree with everything we stand for. That's okay. But I believe he nails it on this point. He drives it home when he says this. He says, in many church congregations, the church favors showing the gospel and abandons speaking the gospel altogether. The problem is the gospel cannot be shown. It must be spoken. He said love, grace, mercy, justice, and the like can be shown with works. The gospel of Jesus Christ, however, must be spoken with words because the gospel of Jesus Christ is not about our deeds, but rather Jesus' deeds. And these are his deeds, his sinless life. You can't show someone a sinless life. His substitutionary death, his burial, his bodily resurrection for the salvation of sinners. You have to speak that to others. It's what we have to do. Then Driscoll goes on to talk about what happens without the gospel being spoken. He says, without the gospel of Jesus Christ, you may still have morality, spirituality, and even charity. But what you don't have is Christianity. Real Christianity results in these things, but cannot be replaced by them. You see, folks, the gospel of Jesus Christ is about what Jesus has done, and it must be spoken. So I want to encourage you, share with people what exactly it is that Jesus has done in your life. Share with them why his sinless life matters to you. Or maybe start with this. Let me sit down and make sure I really agree with this, that the gospel does need to be spoken. Let me make sure that Jesus' sinless life really means something to me, that his substitutionary death means something, that his burial means something, that his resurrection means something. The fact that he's sitting at the right hand of God right now in heaven and ruling over everything, that means something to me. Because if it doesn't mean something to you, it's not going to mean anything to anyone you try and share with. And so we need to sit down and maybe make sure it means something to us. And if it means something to us, then by all means, speak that. Share with someone why those things matter to your life personally. No one can refute your personal testimony. Here's what it means. Jesus has taken us from sin to salvation. He's saved us. Jesus takes us from darkness into light. I know these are metaphors. I'm talking to Christians who understand this. He's taken us from despair to joy. And folks, that has to be explained. We're commissioned by Christ himself in Matthew 28 to share the gospel with others as individuals. As we're going, we share the gospel. But we're also commissioned to share this together. One of the ways we do that is each week we share the gospel as a church body when we share in Christ's body. This morning, we're going to do some things a little different. Each week when we come together, we give and we receive communion. Some of you call it the Lord's Supper. It's when we take and eat the bread. It's when we take and drink the juice. What we do when we do that is we proclaim, listen, this is what this means. You are proclaiming the mystery of Christ together as a body, okay? So this week, we're going to do communion a little differently. We're going to take the Lord's Supper a little differently. So I want to, right now, I'm just going to ask the servers if they would get up. Those of you that are serving communion this morning, if you guys would go ahead and get up and go to the back and get the elements together, and then we're going to come together and we're going to take communion. And when the servers pass those trays to you this morning, please listen, I want us to do this together. So take the cups, both of them. The top cup has the juice, bottom cup has the bread. Take those, hold them. Just hold them together. And then we're going to take it together, proclaiming together as a body the mystery of Jesus Christ. Folks, when we take the Lord's Supper, we're making a statement. When we eat the bread and drink the juice, you guys can go ahead and pass those out. When we take the Lord's Supper, we're making a statement. And so what we're doing is we're stating together that we believe that Jesus is the Christ. And thank you. We believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We believe that he gave his life as a ransom for all who will believe and confess in him. When we take the Lord's Supper, we're making a statement that we know and that we believe that Romans 3:23 is true. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. When we take the Lord's Supper, we are making a statement that we believe John 3:16 and 17. Because we are all sinners and fall short of the glory of God, John 3:16 and 17 are true. God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. We believe that when we take this. That's what we proclaim. When we take the Lord's Supper, we are proclaiming, we're making a statement that we believe that Jesus expressed his love for God and man when he embraced the work of the cross and defeated death by conquering it and raising to life 3 days later. That's what we're proclaiming. See, Jesus was a simple man of simple means who proclaimed a simple gospel. He died for our sins. That's what he did. He died for our sins in order to make us right with his Father in heaven so that we might enjoy eternal life with God only if we believe in the life-saving work of Jesus on the cross and in the resurrection. Jesus himself said in John 14:6, he said, no one comes to the Father except through me. So this morning, I want to invite you to take this cup that has the bread in it, okay? And take the cup that has the bread in it. And what I'm going to do is we're going to have some words that come up on the screen. And I want us to say these words together, okay? So take the cup, and let's say this together. I'll lead us, and you guys say it with me. Thank you, Jesus, for giving your body on the cross as a sacrifice for my sins against God. There's more. Thank you, Jesus, for the bread that reminds us of your body and the work you did for me and those here with me today and those around the world who have proclaimed your name as Savior. We eat this bread together in remembrance of Jesus. Let's eat it. Now, if you'll take the cup with the juice and say this with me. Thank you, Jesus, for allowing your blood to be poured from your body in order to cleanse me in the presence of God. Thank you, Jesus, that when I stand before God, that he will not see me as a sinner, but as a child soaked in the precious blood of his Son. Thank you, Jesus, that you left for us a reminder of your work by taking this juice that represents your blood. Let's drink together. Father, I want to thank you for the precious work of your Son, Jesus. I thank you for the way that his body and his blood delivers us from sin to salvation. I thank you that he knew we'd probably be quick to forget, and so he left us a reminder that we can take each week that reminds us that his body and blood do deliver us as we take the bread and the juice. It reminds us of your love for us. It reminds us of the costly sacrifice. It reminds us that grace is free but very expensive. And it reminds us that love cost all. So we thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Folks, when God opens doors, do we walk through them? Do we peek in them? Or do we slam them shut? Here's another way we can make sure we're walking through those doors that God opens. When we leverage every opportunity to share the gospel. I'll just ask you, are you leveraging every opportunity to share the gospel? We have a responsibility to witness to the lost around us, to seek to bring them into God's family, which means we must leverage every opportunity we can to share the gospel. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 10, verse 16, he said, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Now, this is not trickery. That's not what this is. But Jesus is saying, take advantage of every opportunity that comes your way. You see people who don't have a relationship with Jesus, they're going to be watching very closely those of us who claim to have a relationship with Jesus and how we live. And it's vitally important that there is nothing in our lives that would jeopardize our testimony. Last week, I don't know if you guys listen to Jim Rome, but on the Jim Rome show, Boomer Esiason was on there, and they were talking about Manning and Russell and the Broncos and the Seahawks and all the Super Bowl stuff as it's approaching, and it's really educational, so if you want to listen in. But anyway, as they're talking about this, there was something really cool that happened towards the end of this interview. Jim Rome asked Boomer Esiason about his work with the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. And I didn't know that Esiason was a part of that. But anyway, Jim Rome asked him this. He said, I know you work hard at it, at the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. Is it because of your work ethic or your concern about getting the message out? And Esiason said, it's all about getting the message out. That's what it's about. And then he went on to say this. He said, I leverage every opportunity and relationship I have to try and raise the $100 million we need as an organization. Now, Esiason's talking about a dreaded disease, leveraging every opportunity to raise funds, to raise awareness. Folks, I know how dreadful the cystic fibrosis is. But I know an eternity without Christ is far worse. far worse. In my first youth ministry position back in 95 and 96, I had a young girl. Her name was Trish. She had cystic fibrosis. When we would go on youth group trips, we had to make special arrangements to accommodate her. The girls in our youth group would take turns pounding on her back, keeping her lungs loose so that she could breathe. It's a dreaded disease. And as awful as it is, Trish never complained and said that all she wanted to do, and this is what this teenage girl, junior in high school when I knew her, senior in high school, sorry, when I knew her, all she wanted to do was tell people about how God had blessed her with eternal life. She knew there was something far greater than this time on this earth at this moment. And for a high school person to really grasp that and understand it, I found that amazing. Trish died in 1997. I was in my first semester at Lincoln. But she taught all of us, she taught us all, that diseases like cystic fibrosis, like cancer, like heart disease, and as awful as all those are, none of those compare to a Christless eternity. We need to have the attitude of Trish that says, I'm going to leverage every opportunity God places before me to raise awareness to every person and their need to inherit the kingdom of God, the true treasure of life. Now, that being said, I know that can be scary. I know that fear can creep into our lives, and fear is one of those things that can make us immobile. This week, I shared with our staff and I shared with our elders. So this is a personal confession, that as a leader of our church, as one of them, I've been leading out of fear. Just with things that have gone on in the past, I've just been leading out of fear. And I've repented. I've talked to God about this, and I'm asking for your forgiveness. I really am. God has made that very clear to me in many ways. And like I said, I've asked him to forgive me. And I'm asking for your forgiveness. And I want to make this promise. We're no longer going to be leading out of fear. I've been praying about that, that if we have anyone in leadership that has any fear, any of us, that God will evaporate that fear. He will annihilate that. And that we'll lead as leaders that are empowered by the Holy Spirit, as men who are bold, women who are bold in proclaiming the gospel and in leading a church the way God wants us to lead. I believe also that God is going to be opening many doors for us as a church, and we're going to have to walk through them and not just stand there and peek and not close them. I'm kind of a dreamer. I dream a lot about how God wants to use us, what we can do, and that can frustrate some of you, I'm sure, but I hope it encourages you. I believe that God's going to be opening many doors. And so I want to share with you some of the ways I believe God is preparing us right now so that we can leverage every opportunity to share the gospel. 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, in an elders meeting, we were talking as we were preparing to go forward with the foundation, the building that we're working on. And we determined we're going to do this debt-free. And that's bold. That's not leading out of fear, because the world says, go take a loan out, put it up so that people won't make fun of you. Who cares what people say? Honestly, we're going to do this God's way, which is debt-free, and that's what we've done. But as we were talking as an eldership, we noticed we have all this land out there that God's blessed us with. What are we doing with that? One of the things God's laid on my heart is, what if we had a couple of homeless shelters out? There's nothing like that in this community at all. For people who are in emergency need or permanent need, you know, things like that. Now, we do have things, and God's already preparing us. We have Samaritan Well right over here. And so I just want to encourage you to pray about that. I believe there may be opportunities that arise. God may already be laying them at our feet. You know, we just have to embrace those, recognize them as such, and move how God wants us to move. Not how we want to move, but how God wants us to move. Imagine this. Imagine using our building. Now, I've been guilty of this. I've been guilty of saying, well, when we get the new building up, we can do this. No, uh-uh. That's leading out of fear. Imagine if we use this building right here that we have right now to really start ministering to a junior high and high school campus that's just a few hundred yards away from us. Let's blow our minds back, okay? Let's just dream big. What if we had something like a restaurant that might attract young people to come over here and eat in the middle of the day? Okay, is that really going to share the gospel? It gives us an opportunity, but what it does is it opens a door to allow them to know that they're free to come here. Hopefully they become welcomed here. Hopefully they become used to being here, and we use that as an opportunity. Now, I'm not saying that's what we're doing. I'm just saying imagine if something like that could happen. Lunch right here, open, not just to high school, but even there's no restaurant on this side of town. So if you wanted to come and have lunch here, come. What if we did something like that? We can't keep saying we need to wait for the new building to be built. No, we have to be good stewards of what God has blessed us with right now. And that means taking what God has given us and using it as a steward to share the gospel of Jesus Christ every way we can. Now, let's really blow our minds, okay? Imagine what it might be like if we stepped out and we did worship a little differently. Well, no, you can't do, no. We're not messing with worship. Well, what if we did? I'm not saying we are, but what if we did? By never, ever changing the theological message, never. You cannot change the theology. That has to remain pure, but even Jesus changed methodology, okay? Just look at it, because Scripture was always supposed to be read in the synagogue. But Jesus would quote Scripture out in the streets. He would sit on hillsides. He would share with people where they were. So imagine if we made an environment that was more appealing. I'll be honest with you. I'm glad I get to sit up here and look out because I get to see your faces. This is not appealing to me. Looking at the back of someone's head. What says relationship? What says appealing about that? What if we're the church? For goodness sake, let's create environments that allow for that kind of relationship to be developed. So let's start by maybe creating an environment that allows for those relationships to be forged and encouragement to flow. I know some of you won't like it if that's something we did. I don't know. I mean, I'm just dreaming, folks. You're just getting rough draft. But some people I know won't like it. But folks, these are times where as mature Christians, we need to realize that we're not changing the message. We're changing a method, and that's all we're changing. We still love Jesus. He's still got to be center stage. But for so many years, we do church the same way. And there's no prescribed way in Scripture as to how you do church. There is a prescribed way of what the church does, but not how it's set up, not the style, not the timing, not... But we get into our habits. We get into our traditions. We get comfortable. We get complacent. And we have to remember that that is exactly what Christ came and addressed the Pharisees with. Your traditions can kill us. I'm not saying that our traditions are killing us. I'm not saying that. But those can't become sacred cows. If they do, then maybe we should make gourmet burgers out of them. So just pray about that. We're just dreaming, and it's okay to dream. We need to dream. Where there is no vision, the people perish. So we need to dream about what we can look like. Remember, we said earlier that the percentage of Americans engaged in church is lower now than it ever has been. Why? Maybe it's our methodology. I don't know. So we need prayer. As a leadership, we want direction. We need encouragement as a leadership. We do. So it's hard. So as a leadership, we do desire your prayers as we seek to walk through the doors that God opens, to walk through them boldly, without fear, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ clearly with people who don't know him. And folks, as we go through those doors that God opens, Paul tells us how we should go. I'm wrapping it up with this. We should go with grace in our hearts and salt on our lips. We have to take care that our speech is controlled by grace so that it points to Christ and it glorifies God. This means we must have grace in our hearts because it's from the heart that the mouth speaks. With grace in our hearts and on our lips, we will be faithful to witnessing to others. So when God opens doors, do you walk through them? Do you peek in? Or do you slam them shut? If you're peeking in or closing them, you could be missing an opportunity to share the gospel and therefore allow someone to enter into a Christless eternity. So here's the question. Do you walk through open doors proclaiming the gospel, or do you peek in and close them, denying Jesus altogether? That's why share is so important to us as a church.